Your brand new Bibles. I'd invite you today to underline Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Everybody, repeat after me. You ready? You can get this message in three words. You ready? Always.
Always.
Never.
Never.
And every.
Never.
Let's say them all. Link them together. You ready? Always, never, every. In light of all the questions that you graduates face today, and not just you, but there are many others in here, I'm sure, that are facing questions that they're struggling getting answers to. But your particular questions are rather large. Questions like, how and where am I going to make a living? Am I going to marry? Who am I going to marry? Am I going to go to college? Where am I going to college? And what of the will of God? Why doesn't he give me concrete answers, specific answers to some of my prayers? Lots of questions. But I want to begin today by asking you one more question that goes really down deep into heart and soul. And that question is this: do you want God to direct your life? Do you want God to direct your life? Now, that's a yes or no question. But before you answer that, listen, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, the creator of you, the one who knows you better than you know you. This is the God that you didn't make up. This is the God who is and reveals who he is in his word. This is the God who will hold you accountable for what you did with the life he gave you. So do you want him to give direction to your life? Because I'll tell you right now, he will do that, but it's going to be on his terms. And his terms, I'll tell you right now, are way outside your comfort zone. So what we're going to do today is we're going to examine what's one of the most well-known and favorite passages. Like I said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It was on the screen at the beginning of the service. And let's put it up there right now. I think there it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And here's the promise: he will make your path straight. 6b, the promise. He will make your path straight. You know, that's interesting language. It doesn't say that he will help you choose the right path. That's not what it says. It says he will make your path. Wow, it's like God and you are making the path as you walk on it. And this path is being paved with each step. It's not a path that you can look and see miles ahead and see it stretch into the distance. That's not the picture. It's a path that is forged one step at a time by faith. But listen, the path is a straight one. It's a path of certainty as you go toward a certain destination. But I'm telling you right now, it's a new path. It's your path. It's your path laid out before you by God who loves you like crazy. He will make your path straight. What a promise. It's God's pavement for you. And it's unique. It's unique just to you and him. That's a beautiful thing. But let's back up now and see upon what conditions God will do as he promised. He will make your path straight, but okay, what's before that? There are three conditions. First one's positive, the next one's negative, and the third is positive. Then you have the promise he will make your path straight. First condition, I summed it up this way: trust God. Always. There's your first word. Always. Say it again. Always. Trust God. Always. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. All your heart. Now, there are many words in Hebrew that are translated to trust, but the two that are contrasted here really open up some awesome insight, and I want to share them with you. The word for trust here in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, according to Strong's Concordance, is batak. Batak, and it means to hurry for refuge. To hurry for refuge. But then Strong says this in parentheses, but not so precipitately as kasah. So they're taking two Hebrew words translated to trust, and they're saying, but they're a little different. And that's what I want to share with you today. That other word, the one that's not used here, but is also translated to trust, the word kasah, means to flee for protection. Now that sounds the same. To hurry for refuge is batak, to flee for protection. But there are differences, and here they are. Kasah, the one that's not used, is when you find yourself in trouble. And that trouble makes you run to God for help. Now, that nothing wrong with that. That's how I came to God for the first time. And many of you, that's your story as well. You ran to Christ for help when you made a mess of things. But that introduces us to Christ. It's not a way to live. Kasah is the genie in the bottle kind of trust. You know, lots of people trust God that way. They live their life, they do their own thing, and then when they make a mess of things, they say, God, please bail me out. Please fix this for me. If you fix this for me, then I will. And they make all sorts of promises. Kasah is like C.S. Lewis meant when he wrote, he said, we regard God as an airman regards his parachute. It's there for emergencies, but he hopes he'll never have to use it. That's Kasah. It's God's on a shelf just in case I need him. But listen, that's not the word here used in Proverbs 3:5. This word is batak. And this is a trust that is confident, that is sure, that is bold in the dailiness of life. This is a trust that hurries to God always. Say always with me. Always. It's not just when you need help. Are you hearing me? Do you see the difference? Young people, if you want to walk on God's pavement, then you need to learn to trust and yearn to sit at God's feet, to know him and to know his truth at all times, in all of life. Because if you think you're in control, then at some point, I guarantee you, you're going to find it veering out of control. So trust God when? Always. That's batak. The second condition flows right out of the first. It's the negative condition. Trust God always, that's batak. But first, verse 5b says this, trust yourself never. Trust yourself never. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, batak. And then it says, read it with me, church, lean not on your own understanding. The Hebrew word here is shawan, and it means to support oneself, to rely or rest on self. It's the idea that I hear all the time coming out of this culture of self-esteem. You know, we're great. We got to feel great about ourselves because we're just great. It's the idea, I can handle this. I don't need God. I got this figured out. After all, it's my life. And I say to you boldly this morning, no, it's not your life. It's God's. He created it. He gave it to you to manage, to steward for him. Listen, you think you're wise, you think you're smart, you think you're beautiful and talented, somehow better than those other people or those old people at church or those kids, other kids at school. Listen, that is just how Paul felt about himself as Saul before God knocked him off his horse on the way to Damascus. Paul thought very highly of himself. But God had to blind him to get him to see and to get him asking, who are you, Lord? Before Paul could view himself and his Savior and his mission in the blazing light of eternal truth. And then this talented, no question he was talented. This intelligent, no question about it. This go-getter could finally see clearly what was true to write things like, I'm the least of the apostles. Before that, he thought he was the best. Or when he wrote, I am the chief of sinners. Before that, he trumpeted his righteousness according to the law. See, up until Damascus, Saul leaned on his own understanding. Listen, young people, anything you are, any potential that you have, God gave you to steward for his glory and his use to accomplish his will and purpose. So don't you dare take pride in a gift and put yourself up on a pedestal and therefore lean on your own greatness. And if you have done that, then repent and wash your soul clean in the grace that flows from humility and submission. Lean not on your own understanding. So you trust God when? Always. You trust yourself when?
Never.
Trust God always. That's batak. Trust yourself never. Don't shaw on. And then finally, if you want to walk with God, walk on God pavement, then verse 6 says this. This is huge. Acknowledge him in every step. That's my principle. What's the word? Every. So we got always, we got never, and we got every. Acknowledge him in every step. In all your ways, the passage says, acknowledge him. And then comes the promise. He will make your path straight. Look, if you are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, then God has put you, wherever he puts you, wherever you end up, I know one thing about that. I don't know where you're going to end up. I don't know what career you're going to follow, where you're going to work, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry. Can't answer any of those questions, but I know this. Wherever you end up, I know your purpose for being there. You are there to know Christ and make him known in that place. No question about it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada, and it means to know by seeing. In your life, young people, you should see God in everything and have the vision of seeing God in everyone, because every person is created in his image. Whether they claim Christ or not, you can see what God intended in that person, in their gifts and talents and abilities and passions. He's there just waiting to save, to redeem, to transform that life, and to make it, instead of about that person, to make it about him. See God in everything and have the vision of seeing God in everyone. Listen, if you've spent these last years in public school, I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not, but every day you walked into that place, you were among immortal beings. Immortal beings. They're never going to cease to exist for all eternity. And many or most of those, maybe they don't know the love of Christ. So my question to you is this. Were you there in that place through all those years to acknowledge him in all your ways? Now, if you look back and say, you know, Jerry, if I'm really honest, I have to say those years were more about me than about acknowledging the Savior or my Savior. If that's the case, here's my question for you. When is that going to change? It needs to change. When is that going to change? When will you decide that the purpose for your every breath is to know Christ and make him known? To give every person you meet a chance to have the veil of unbelief removed, that they might see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. When are you going to decide that I'm here to live the truth out loud and to speak the truth out loud? In all your ways. I'm not making this up. What does this say? In all your ways, acknowledge him. We are called as human beings, according to the book that you just received, to know him and make him known. Now for me, that decision came in my senior year of high school. After my last basketball game, I stood at center court in an empty gym. We had lost to the number one ranked team in the state of Ohio. They had two Division I players on that team, and we lost by 12. That was pretty good for us because we did not have two Division I players on that team. But I stood at center court, empty gym, and I'd walked out there. Everybody was gone, and I stood there reliving the years of hard work and the disappointments, the good times and the bad, and it was kind of like the Lord stood next to me and put his arm around me and asked, Jerry, if you had poured as much of you into me as you did into your basketball, I wonder how many of your classmates might have come to know me through you. That's what I asked myself. And I wept that day. And my tears hit the hardwood floor at Lexington High School. And I said, Lord, I am here to acknowledge you. And nothing else really matters, does it? That was a turning point for me, and God has honored that feeble, wavering prayer ever since. My faith sometimes did this, but as I shared with Preston, his faithfulness never did. It never wavered to me. And I look back at my life. I still can't look ahead Because remember, God paves it as we go together. We take steps of faith. But I can look back on God pavement in my life. And I praise his name for that. I wonder how many of you graduates and the rest of us here today would come to that point on this day and say, Lord, I want to be an always, never, every kind of person. I want to trust you. When? Always. Batak. With my life. Not kasad, not only when I'm in trouble. And Lord, I want to trust myself. Never. And I want a sha'an to lean on myself. Because I recognize, Lord, that anything I do and have is a gift from you to be used for you. And Lord, I want a yada. I want to know by seeing, to acknowledge you in every step. I want to see you in everything and see you in everyone, from the least to the greatest among men. I will acknowledge you with my life. If that's your prayer, I would invite you to make it your prayer today. Always, never, every. And I guarantee you, the faithful God of the book that you just received will honor that prayer, even in all your weakness and vacillation. He will do as he promised. He will make your path straight as you walk trusting and acknowledging him one step at a time, with him paving the way. Trust God always. Trust yourself never. And in every step, acknowledge him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to challenge not just these young people, but every one of us here today. We all need to be always, never, and every kind of people. I pray that this passage that many of us know, some of us have it memorized, that it would take on new power and depth and insight today as a result of our time together. And I pray that it become a passage that these young people grab onto. They understand first, they grab onto it, claim it. And Lord, I know you're going to show yourself faithful. You always, always do. And I thank you for that. Father, bless these graduates. I pray that when they veer off course in a way that's going to end up in destruction of their soul or in damaging their soul, that through circumstance, through people, through friends, through your word, that you would head them off at that pass and draw them back to their need for Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray that the forces of evil would be bound, and that wherever they go and whatever they're doing, Lord, that your hedge of protection and the fact that you've chosen them before the foundation of the world would direct them toward the cross of Christ and the gospel, not just unto their salvation, but the living out of that salvation among other people who need to know, who need to hear, who need to know Christ. So Father, just watch over them and use them mightily for your kingdom. If there's one thing this country and this world needs, it's people who stand on what Jesus said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through him. May we all be resolute in that, uncompromising in that, in this increasingly relative world. Help us to be strong and courageous in him. In Jesus' name, amen.